Hello and welcome to your recording of I Am the Divine for June 2nd, 2026. I am behind. I owed you this file last week, but I had a lot of stuff going on last week and it was a little hectic, so I apologize for that. You'll most likely be getting another recording for this week, towards the end of the week, but that's okay because there's a lot happening right now. And I'm almost feeling like I want to start recording whenever I have a few minutes to record because the energies are so high that everything is moving fast. And as we get into July, it's going to really speed up. And that's when we're going to feel like we're actually riding the fire horse. So before we go into the talking points for the energies for June, I wanted to share with you something I might have mentioned in one of our other gatherings or recordings, and that was a dream that I had a couple of weeks back. I think it was in May, actually, the beginning of May, maybe closer to Mother's Day. And it was life-changing, I guess. That's the only way I can describe it, is it shifted me in a very profound way. So I went to sleep and Bella had woken me up and I went and let her in. And then when I went back to sleep, this is when I had the dream. And I'm thinking that Bella probably triggered this memory from some place within me, because ever since she's come into my life, I feel like I've known her in another lifetime, where we were together, and it was never really clear how that was, but she's a very intuitive cat. And when she came to me to live with me in the Medford house, which was many years ago, she told me her name. She told me her name was Isabella. And that's when I started calling her Bella. And people were like, oh, that's such a common cat name. Why did you choose that? But, I didn't choose that. That was actually her name that she told me. And so I just stuck with that and started calling her Bella for short. And I've always felt like she was a very persnickety cat and at times a bit challenging in her behaviors, her mannerisms, and the way she acts, with her own level of certainty and confidence that is beyond anything that I have ever seen or experienced before. She is just a different type of being. And if you interact with her, you can almost get that sense from her when you're talking to her. And she completely understands me. It's, there's no mistaking that. Like if I say something to her, she will look at me and she just has this awareness and understands exactly what I'm saying to her. And when she doesn't want to hear it or doesn't like it, she will literally roll her eyes, make a face, and then turn away from me to say, like, that is not okay with me. I'm not interested in that. Okay. And so this has just been a very different experience for me. And knowing that this connection that we have comes from somewhere else. Well, this dream gave me a glimpse into one reality. And sometimes our animal partners have been with us in other lifetimes as animals, and sometimes they could be with us in other ways. But she definitely makes me feel like we have been together in another lifetime in okay, in this situation where she is the cat, I am the human, and we have been companions. So in this dream, I'm in this bedroom, and the guy that I'm with, I don't think I was married to. I think probably I was dating him for a long time. It was a long-standing relationship. And I was laying in the bed, and he was saying he had to go to a meeting. I think it was in the middle of the night, and he had to go to a meeting. And this dream did not feel like a dream. It felt like this reality right now, right here, right now. It was so real and so palpable. And so I was laying in bed, and Bella, or the cat version of her that she was in that timeline, was laying on this like princess chair on like a makeup table or something like that. And I was trying to go back to sleep, well, back to sleep, but this meeting was taking very, very long. And I was feeling restless. And so, over a period of time, and I remember in the dream it being a very long period of time, it's like a couple of hours later, I finally fell asleep. And then at some point, the bedroom door opens, and I think it's the guy that I'm with, but it's not. It's his business partner. And his business partner comes into the bedroom, and he says to me, this is, I don't know, something like, this is going to be painless for you. So I want you to just relax. And I'm asking him where my boyfriend is. And he's like, something like, he's been removed. He's been removed and taken out of the way. So he's no longer a problem to me. And I've cleaned up, that part of my business and that part of my life. And as I'm waking up, because I'm in a stupor as he's coming into the bedroom, because I did fall back asleep, he puts some kind of liquid in my mouth when I turn to say, "What are you talking about?" And in that instant, I realize something with the way that it's making my mouth feel, that he's just poisoned me, like he's given me something, right? And he says to me, "Just lay back. It'll be over in a few minutes." And with that, he says, "Good night, sleep well." And he walks out of the room. And I hear him say, "Well, that's the last piece of the puzzle. And, I'm finally free of whatever he was talking about, it had to do with business and, tying up loose ends and stuff like that." And I remember the feeling of the liquid starting to go through my body. And I wanted to spit it out, but I couldn't. And I turned to Bella, who was sitting on the chair, and I just started to say to her, "I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. I love you. I wouldn't want this for you. Please don't be mad. I have to leave you." And as I'm talking to her, I'm getting weaker and I'm starting to drift in and out of consciousness. And my fear is that she's going to be in this, room or place or wherever it was, by herself until somebody, finds my body and comes in and maybe rescues her, and then her fate is really unknown. And that was freaking me out as I was starting to die. My body was starting to go through the death. And what I remember most profoundly from it was that as I was starting to go through this dying phase, it was so real. It was this feeling of calmness. It wasn't a feeling of panic, but a feeling of calmness. And as I was going through this dying stage, I was feeling my soul detaching from my physical body. It was as if it was pulling away from the outer edges of the inside of my body, pulling away, pulling itself back. And I felt this happening, and I wasn't really sure what was going to happen after that, but I wasn't sure if I was going to black out or, but I could feel literally my essence detaching from my physical body, detaching from the physical reality. And as it was progressing, I was also very aware that I wasn't as concerned with Bella's well-being anymore because I was detaching from the reality that she existed in. And there was no fear, there was no sadness, there was no grief, there wasn't anything that I was about to leave this reality. Going through the death cycle. And I realized that very, very clearly. It was very clear to me that that was the case. And I was feeling this sense of calmness. And then all of a sudden, I got to the point where I was really my essence of my soul. And in that second, because it was like a split second, like a nanosecond. There was this huge pop in my crown as my soul exited my body. And it was so palpable. It was so real. I felt the intensity of myself leaving my physical body. And once I was outside my physical body, I wasn't thinking about Bella. I wasn't thinking about the guy that I was with who was probably dead. I wasn't thinking about anything. I was not thinking about anybody. I was thinking about how free I felt and how I was now in this vast energetic field, the universe, the quantum, whatever you want to call it. And I was in this field that was so strong and so big and felt so incredibly amazing that I wasn't thinking about anybody else. And as I was having this experience, in my real waking state, I started to wake up from this dream of dying. And as I was going through my own wake up from this death dream, I was very confused because I couldn't figure out if I was dead or I was alive. Like, did I literally just die? Or was that a dream that I had? It was so real. I mean, the top of my crown, I don't want to say it hurt because that's not the right word, but it was definitely, I don't even want to say tender. It felt different. It just felt very different where my soul exited through the crown. And so what I came away with when I was fully awake is that when Jo moved out and went to Hernando County to live, which is a little over an hour from here, and I was here more with Bella by myself and not, nobody else was here, it was just the two of us, I started to have these thoughts and ideas of like, well, I am older. If something happened to me, who would know? Would anybody be looking for me if they couldn't get in touch with me within a day or two? What would happen to Bella? She wouldn't have food. Would anybody check on us? Would anybody know until, Joe eventually came back to the house again? And having all of these very strange dream thoughts, and I was having these thoughts all the way up to that dream. And I was kind of thinking about it on a regular basis, thinking like, living alone when you don't have anybody else, and like, I don't know anybody down here really, except for Joe and his uncle, and I don't really interact with the uncle that much. But so this was a thought that I was having, and I was thinking about it often enough. But what happened was, is once I had this dream and I felt death, I felt how my death felt, right? I felt how peaceful it was. That thought or worry or idea that Bella would be left alone has completely left me, because this reality that we live in is a simulation. Once I exit the body, she does not exist anymore and wouldn't exist, because this reality wouldn't exist in that way, right? Like, if somebody needs to play this out other than me, right? Like, if Joe comes to the house, and he might have to go through the process of, like, discovering my body and discovering Bella hasn't been fed in like a week or whatever, right? But for the soul that's departing, and this is really what my point is, for the soul that's departing, it's not grieving its own departure. It might do that in a lingering moment between here and, the quantum field, but it would only do that for a moment. It wouldn't do that on a continual basis. The only way it would continue to grieve its departure of the earth is if somebody is grieving that departure. So if a loved one is seriously grieving the departure of their beloved, whether it's a mother, father, sister, brother, significant other, partner, wife, husband, whatever, or even, beloved pet or something like that, if there's grief over it by the loved one that's remaining on the earth, it does tether the soul to the earth until the loved one finds a way to heal through that grief. When the loved one is no longer grieving in that way, the soul that's departed, the physical reality, can go on and do its next level of healing on the, I'm going to say, other side, but there is no such thing as another side. It's all dimensional, right? So, in this new plane of existence, or in this new dimension that it resides in. And this dream for me was very powerful, because it showed me the absolute peace, no matter what the circumstances are, right? We could be in the most gruesome, horrific death. I mean, we could be, stabbed by somebody, and the death is happening to the physical body, but that soul is already detaching. Like, if that physical experience is meant to create the departure of the soul, that soul literally starts its exit point and is usually outside of the body before the body really feels any kind of pain or there's any kind of suffering. The soul exits the body before the human mind, the consciousness, the feeling end of it, the emotional body has suffering. And so, if someone does encounter a circumstance or a situation where, they have an accident, or they are in a fight and get wounded, or in a war and get wounded, or in a car accident, get wounded, or, in a hunting accident, get wounded, however that is, and they do have to suffer the wound, it's for another purpose. And that usually has to do with karma in some way, shape, or form. Okay. So this was very profound because, and I'm sharing it with you because we oftentimes think that when a loved one passes, it's challenging, it's created some kind of suffering on their part, or they've been, they've had suffering, or they're grieving their departure from the earth plane, but that's not the truth. The only person that grieves is the loved one left behind that can't reconcile the departure. Okay, I hope that makes sense. But this was so profound in that it was so real. I mean, I literally thought I was dead. It took me an hour after I woke up to realize I was still in the physical and still on the earth plane. That's how real that dream was. And I think I was meant to experience it because I needed to understand it from the point of view that everything is dimension, right? And that's really what I teach. And I know sometimes what I teach doesn't always land, maybe for you in the way that I'd want it to, because we have to wrap our mind around it. And that means detaching our mind from our belief system or from the ideologies that we have gained. And even across the spiritual community, there's a lot of convoluted and distorted information coming through. Because this is where we get to choose the experience that we want to have. How do we want to have this experience going forward? Can we choose our highest, our best, right? Or are we buying into all of this information on channeling, which we're all channels? There's not anybody that does a better job of channeling one entity than the other. And so many people out there are channeling negative entities or negative beings and don't even realize they're doing that. The information is so distorted and so convoluted. But again, if you look at what's happening on the earth, it's because we put some people on a pedestal and we, praise and worship for the idea of they're doing something we cannot, or they're doing something that we don't have access to. And that's not true. But that is the nature of what we've been taught, right? Like, we don't think we have the same power as everybody else, but we do. And, I meet people all the time, talk to people all the time. And I'm like, you could sit in my seat and do this work. And they look at me like, no, I could never do that. But yeah, that's true, because it's true for every single one of you in this community that you could literally step into my seat and do this work. And it's just a matter of slowing down the connection to the outer reality, which means that we stop looking at the TV, we stop looking at the social media, we stop looking at our phone, we stop doing all these other things, connecting back to nature, reading a book, or getting involved in, breath work or meditation, or, something that brings us back inward, right? Sitting and just being still and being present and something that brings us back in. But a lot of us source our power to outside things, outside of en energies, right? To our jobs. Well, I mean, I don't have a physical job anymore. I have this as my job. But when I remember when I did source myself to my job, it was all my connections and who I was tied to and the importance of those people. And then the importance of me looking, like I was on point for my job, right? That's all the illusion. That's all the illusion. And all that does is keeps pulling us away from ourselves. It takes us outside of ourself instead of puts us inside of ourself. And then we feel like we might have to get away because we're really getting away from ourself and the noise that we've created for ourselves instead of coming back home and coming within. We want to build a life that we never have to run away from or when we're never looking for a distraction from, right? When we can sit and be by ourselves with ourself without needing anybody else with us. I mean, when I tell you that I am isolated here, I'm isolated. I don't have friends down here yet. I haven't been able to make any. I meet a lot of people, but people are doing their own thing and whatever, and I feel like I'm in a period of time within myself where I am deepening my connection to everything. And I'm not meant to have those outer distractions because there is something going on with me that is creating this incredible depth for me to crack open my creativity. And that level of play that I was never allowed to express when I was a child, right? So having gone through the death phase has literally quieted me down, quieted my mind down. And I think it's even erased a level of fear for me where I just don't feel like I fear anything. I have told you in the past that I don't have a problem going outside at night in the dark because I know that everything is the illusion. And that if I'm going to encounter something on a negative level, it's because my thoughts create the evil speech or the negative self-talk or the negative speech that creates the distortion that I'm eventually going to have to play out in the negativity of a meetup with someone or something. I choose not to do that. I don't consent to it. Other things can happen to other people or around the world or around my area, community, whatever, family, whatever. But I'm not choosing that as my reality. I'm choosing peace. I'm choosing love. I'm choosing sovereignty, right? And that's what I learned through having that dream. It was extremely profound to have that dream, understanding that the soul is in its fullest joy. It's essence of self when it exits the physical reality because it is no longer confined to the physical experience that's always been run by the ego. And this is extremely important for us to have as an awareness because we have to let go. We have to surrender the old and realize it is simply the mask that we have worn. And perhaps some of you are still wearing that mask and it's tied to belief systems. This is where it's all going to start to pull apart. And we're either going to allow that and we're going to move freely with it, or we're really going to struggle in these next couple of months because in July, everything speeds up. So the June shifts that we're seeing right now have a lot of water. I'm in Florida. It's raining constantly. Some days it's a deluge. I mean, the massive downpours that are just unbelievable. They're beautiful because it makes me feel so peaceful and, so, I get the only word I could think of is content because I'm listening to the rain coming down and it's just a sense of peace and quiet. And water is always cleansing to me. So a lot of that. But I'm also seeing where there's a lot of earthquakes happening all over. And for the most part, they're happening in, the oceans around the world. There was one off of Chile. There was one off of Italy. And this is within the last couple of days. There have been several in California. Nothing overly significant, but they are happening as the earth is shifting, going through her physical ascension. And then we have the volcano on the Big Island of Hawaii is starting to get active again, Kilauea. I remember seeing that in its active state back in, I want to say January of 2007, when I was on my honeymoon cruise with Pete, and the island was lit up red from the lava flowing into the ocean. It was just such a sight to see because we cruised by it in the late evening. It was absolutely beautiful. But that's happening again as now we're going through that next phase of physical restructuring, and we all might be doing that. Okay, so this is really an important part of an important time on the earth, and it's important because it's requiring we choose our reality. Like, what timeline are you wanting to sit in? Are you wanting to sit in the timeline of the outer reality and all the nonsense and the distortion and the confusion and the chaos and all of that? That's not even needing our attention unless we're involved in it because we have chosen that as some kind of, like, karmic restitution where we have to play that out. We have to play that experience out in order to can gain our, soul points for clearing that karma. But this is where we really have to start looking at this. The sun is producing huge coronal holes, which is creating enormous amounts of plasma and crystalline light. And these solar flares are active again, and the energies are intensifying, and everything is starting to speed up. Like I said, we're going to really feel that fire horse energy, right? So I want to ask you, what is your perspective right now? Where is your focus? Where is your focus? Are you overly focused on your body? Are you overly focused on your body, trying to make your body look better so everybody's going to like you or think you're better or think you look better or attract a relationship to you? Because that's the wrong way to do that. It's not through the physical. It's through love. It's through self-love, loving the body, supporting the body. But I'm seeing a lot of people abusing the body through different activities and different routines that they're encountering. We don't want to do that. In every single moment, in every single moment, I want you to think that every single second tomorrow is being built. In every second of what you are doing, what we do throughout our day, tomorrow is built. How is that looking in your world? What are you putting in each moment, in each second? Where are your thoughts taking you? Because the next thing, the thought becomes a word. The minute we speak it into the reality, it changes the molecular structure of the reality around us, and that reality shifts to match the word we just spoke that pairs up with our thoughts. And it's either going to be something that we're wanting or something that is unwanted. We have to be really careful about that. So we have to make sure that the choices we're making are a higher aligned choice. I'm seeing it in my world, things being spoken in and manifesting super duper quickly is blowing my mind. It is unbelievable how quickly things are manifesting. And so, my daily mission or routine or habit or whatever has changed to speaking higher level everything and not allowing myself to dwell in anything that is lower level that doesn't serve or support me. So, excuse me. What choices are you making for your day-to-day experience? Sorry, water went down the wrong pipe. Are you living for the approval of others? Because that's a big one. Or maybe you're in the work so deeply, you're living for yourself. That's where I am right now. I'm living for myself. I do not allow any negativity to enter my mind. I refuse to engage with it. So, in other words, what I'm saying to you is, if I'm going into YouTube to watch an art video that somebody I follow just posted, because the art program that I'm in just posted a video and I wanted to watch it. But when I went into YouTube, one of the first things that happened was this video came up warning of something that was going to be happening in Florida that was going to be negative. Well, how I operate now is I don't need to know. I don't care. I don't care. I tapped on the three buttons on the video. I didn't even watch any of it. I just looked that it said some kind of dramatic something. It was some kind of, warning or something. Tapped on the three buttons and I said, don't recommend this channel. And that was it. Now it's not going to show me anything from that, right? Then the next thing in the feed, I couldn't even get to the video because the next thing in the feed was, some spiritual person broadcasting, negativity and drama and look what's happening and yada yada. And, it's all gonna hurt us or whatever it was, right? Again, the three buttons, tap that, do not recommend. And the reason I do that is not that I don't want to see the two sides, because I know that they exist. I know the good side and the bad side have to be out there both. But the minute you tune to that negativity that's out there, you know it's out there, right? We're not stupid. We know it's out there. But the minute we tend to tune to that negativity, we're opening a doorway for the mind, which is in Gemini right now. It's electric. It's got Uranus pushing it. Okay. And Uranus is lightning. It's fast. It's all about mentalism, right? Thoughts. What do you think the subconscious mind is doing? The subconscious mind, the unconscious mind. It's looking at that information and storing it. Okay. I don't want that in my unconscious subconscious. I don't want to bump into it tomorrow, the next day, whenever, because I don't need to see it. I don't want to interact with it because I don't want my subconscious, unconscious mind to start running amok thinking, is there going to be some big event here in Florida? Am I going to have to worry? I'm, fairly close to the water. What am I going to do with the chickens and the peafowl? Like, what's going to happen here, right? How are we going to be safe? I don't want to start creating that because I know from my past experiences in my life that when I have an emergency situation, I am usually notified through my higher self. And it's like, girl, you need to go, or you need to go to the doctor, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. So I don't want to create that type of scenario for myself because it doesn't excite me, doesn't make me feel happy. Okay. So what I'm saying is instead of watching it, turn it off. Don't do that. Scroll through it, scroll past it, right? I just don't want it popping up in my feed because it knows I'm in Florida. So it's going to keep coming back. It's going to keep showing. But if I tell the algorithm, hey, I don't want to see this, the chances of me seeing more stuff like that is slim to none. Okay. So that's how I handle it. I gatekeep my thoughts and I always know where my mind is pointing to. And that's what we have to be doing. Okay. Because this supports opportunity for greater awareness. And it's important to be the creator of our reality instead of the reality creating through the unconscious, subconscious thoughts. Because that is being fed in from the collective, and the collective is in chaos right now. Has anybody been out to the stores? People are angry. People are miserable. And this is the beginning of what is to come because we are most likely going to see a revolution, like a people's war to take their power back because they're realizing that they have been manipulated and they have been lied to, right? So this is a turning point, but we're either feeding the energy of the turning point or we're supporting it through higher level energies. It's up to us. Where are we playing? Where are we placing our energy? I'm not placing my energy in the distortion. It does not need my energy. But what needs my energy is the higher light, because the higher light is what kills the distortion. Okay. So it's really important to be the creator right now instead of allowing the reality to create for us, right? And we don't want to create through the collective. That would not be a good thing. We must feel and not think. When we're thinking, we're in the mind, right? We want to continue to monitor the thoughts that we're having and create from the place of happy and satisfied and joyful and all of that so that we can keep ourselves in this higher placement. You know, I have been playing with an idea of having more wealth and abundance than I have. And I'm playing with this idea that every time that I look at my bank account has $500,000 in it that I can't see. Okay. So when I look at my bank account, whether it's on my mobile app or on the computer, I make sure that I tell myself as I'm looking at my bank account, yeah, that soon I'll be able to see that $500,000 that's in my bank account. I just haven't stepped up into that energy fully enough yet. But soon I will be able to see that $500,000. And that's how I play with the universe, right? Higher level everything. I want to be the creator of the highest level energies, reality that I can. Okay. So June energy will be very fast with lots of unexpected everything. Uranus is the unexpected. It is unexpected good and unexpected bad. It's like lightning. So things happen fast. And it's in the sign of Gemini, which is the mind. So it's mentalism and it's thinking. So we don't want to get rooted in anything because when we're rooted, it means that we're not moving like lightning. We want to be in flow. Okay. So the energies, because of this feeling of electrical, it can feel very chaotic and scattered if we're not careful. We want to be flexible. We want to, you know, allow ourselves to be in flow, to be pushed towards creation and new thinking and positivity. And because of the nature of this energy and how it feels, it can feel very otherworldly. I have been getting up in the morning the last couple of weeks, and sometimes when I get up in the morning, I feel like Mrs. Magoo. I don't know if any of you remember the cartoon Mr. Magoo. But I feel like that. Like sometimes I feel like, what is going on with me? Like I to this morning I was trying to, make myself some coffee, a cup of coffee, and it was just like everything was a calamity, and I had to laugh all the way through it. There wasn't a moment I got mad because I realized I was like, wow, this is like complete detachment on my part from the idea of having coffee. And I'm like, I might not even be drinking coffee much longer. I might just have it as like, hey, I feel like having a cup of coffee today, but it's not in my morning. And so there's that level of detachment again. Couple weeks back, I had a slice of pizza. Now I am in Florida. Pizza's not great down here, but there is an Italian place that does make a New York style pizza pie. And you can go in and get slices, and they have, pasta dishes and stuff like that. And I've had it a handful of times, not often, because everything from me is at least 30 to 40 minutes. So 30 to 40 minutes one way means like, an hour or more round trip. And it's just not worth it for a slice of pizza. But this last time I got it, I was coming home from the stores. I had gone grocery shopping. And when I had the pizza, I just had this very strong awareness that I just didn't need to have pizza anymore. It wasn't feeling fulfilling to me. And not just because I'm down here in Florida and pizza's not like New York pizza. It's because I think I've just, grown out of pizza. And maybe it'll come back at some point and I'll want it again, but right now that's not the case. So I'm being conscious of that, and I think, coffee might be next. And just because I'm shifting my awareness and my perspectives ever since I had that dream about dying, which is why I'm sharing it with you, because it's very, very important for us to realize that this physical reality, it is run by the simulation. It is not real. It doesn't have anything in it that's real. And we have to be really careful with that, with rooting too deeply into a reality that we think is real, right? We have to really be careful with that. And as I play with the money game and I play with that idea of my bank account holding $500,000, but it's in another dimensional state that I can't really see right now, but it's there and I'm catching up to it. I'm starting to notice the universe is leaving me money, like pennies are showing up all over the place. And I will have just cleaned the floors, right? And I go into the kitchen and there's a penny on the floor next to the sink. Or I go in yesterday and I do a small load of laundry in the washing machine and look in the washing machine. There's nothing in the washing machine as I'm putting the clothes in, but yet as I'm pulling the clothes out, and it was all tops. There were no bottoms. And the tops don't have pockets to put pennies in or anything like that. I pull the tops out and there's a penny at the bottom of the washing machine, right? It's just showing me a manifestation of money is heading my way, right? We have to be super conscious of the way we're interacting and, living in our reality, existing in our reality. It's so critically important. So we want to experience these otherworldly moments where we get up and it feels like, we don't know what is going on because there's something happening in the body. I got up, Joe was in for a couple of days because he was off and he came in, he tightened up the chicken coops and fixed the roof for the peahen and the peafowl, and now their roof doesn't leak anymore, and he did a whole bunch of things around the house. And we were talking one morning and he asked me a question and I went to answer him, and every time I went to talk it was gibberish coming out of my mouth. It was like the words were backwards or I couldn't say the word. And I stood there at one moment and I looked at him. We both looked at each other and it was like I understand what you're saying without you having to say it. And it was just the funniest thing. But like, I'm like, wow, I'm losing the ability for speech because something else is building as that is being restructuring. So instead of, thinking like, hey, I must have dementia or I must have, Alzheimer's or this or that, it's not, it's the restructuring of the molecules, the molecular body, that's shifting, that's changing. So I look at that, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be excited instead of being upset about it or being worried about it or anything like that, right? So June 12th, Uranus is going to square the north and south node. So a square is tension. Uranus is the great awakener, and it's in Gemini right now, but it's going to square the nodes, which is a big thing because it really means that it's taking us, or it's asking us to let go of more of our south node attributes, right? The things that we've always done, because south node represents the past, the things we've always done, the things we've always told ourselves, the thoughts we've always had that keeps us stuck. And it's asking us to move more towards the north node, which is where we're supposed to be headed. Okay. So collectively, the soul's growth is towards the north node. And this is a very, very important time because we're all coming into our destiny more. Okay. Now it challenges what is. So it's going to feel or make challenges to what we are currently doing that is not working for us, right? If it's starting to feel like it's not comfortable anymore, it's not aligned anymore, you don't enjoy it anymore, you know that it's happening because the shift is happening, okay? And the shift is very, very strong. So the South Node, which is the fa past, is our daily repetitive habits that are routine and make us complacent or comfortable. And right now they're going to be challenged. The North Node is a very mystical, magical placement. And through the North Node, creativity is heightened. That magic is heightened, which is why I started playing with the money in the bank account and I'm watching the change show up, right? The coins are showing up to show me that it's starting to work. And it's just a matter of time before the big stuff comes in, right? So we have to look at that and say, which do we choose? Do I want to stay in the north, in the south node past and continue with the habits that don't serve me? Or do I want to align myself with the north node and do things that push me completely out of my comfort zone, but help me grow, help me learn, help me refocus myself, and maybe shift my identity of who I am? Okay. So, south node is very familiar to us, which doesn't help our soul grow. But the north node is our destiny, and it drives us deeper into self-discovery through which we can access our mystical self, which is why I said earlier, everybody is a channel, right? We look at channels and go, oh my God, that person's wonderful. But no, we all are. It's just that we don't practice, right? We don't practice. Otherwise, we know. And then eventually you get to a point where you don't need to practice anymore. It just is. It just is, right? Sometimes when I do readings for people, I'm like shocked what comes out of my mouth, but yet there it is because I don't think about it. I don't filter it. I'm not worried about what I'm saying and I'm not worried about what is coming through. So channeling their higher self and what information they need becomes very natural. We all do that. We all have the ability, okay? This is also going to be a time where there's going to be discoveries of new digital developments, and there's going to be collapses of some of the old ones. We're already seeing AI struggling. Okay. There have been several colleges that used AI to get their graduation list together, and they did not realize until graduation day that AI left a whole group of people off of that list, and their names were never called to go up and get their diploma. Then a handful of colleges used AI to write their graduation notes, their graduation ceremony given by, whether it's the head of the college, the dean, or somebody else. And it did not sound heartfelt at all. It sounded, like it was very scripted. And two of the colleges said it right in front of the students and threw it away. So this is where we might see, rebellion regarding AI technology. This is the point where they were in Atlantis, in the Atlantean timeline, when everything imploded and they blew themselves up because they were too technology based. And it's funny that I'm here in Florida at this time because Florida is the Atlantean timeline. It's very strong and heavy down here in this area, especially off the Gulf Coast, which is where I am. So we might see a possible rebellion through these energies, and there could be big change on the horizon and some kind of a revolution that might happen as things start to become clear and the false narratives, be seen for what they are, right? So this time period is bringing us full circle back to civil rights and freedom and rebellion and revolution and the word no, right? No, this is not okay. One person dictating the power and control for all the people. That's not okay with us. We don't want that. We don't like that, right? And whatever the case may be, standing up for what is in our best interest. Health insurance, right? Health insurance is a scam. If you walk into a hospital and you need tests done, out-of-pocket tests for an MRI is probably only $350. But if you have insurance, they're going to bill your insurance company $4,000 and your out-of-pocket is going to be $1,200, right? So there's a problem here with that. It doesn't work. It's not fair. It's not for the people. Okay. And we're starting to see, humanity is starting to see. So this is where things are going to start to shift. I'm sorry, I'm being distracted because we just had three solar events again. I woke up to solar events this morning. So we just know that this is going to be a very heavy time, energetically, fire horse energy, very fiery, very fast, very electric, very lightning, right? That kind of stuff, right? So this is where the power is going to move to the people. It's actually giving the people power. This fiery electrical energy is going to be tapping on sovereignty, peace, love, like the 60s and 70s, and almost in likeness to the hippie movement, right? Where we're thinking freedom and we're thinking power and we're thinking peace to the people. So, very fast moving though. And it's making me think about my mentoring call last night for the art program that I'm in and seeing this firsthand and actually experiencing it firsthand with myself, because the program is really kind of self-governing. So, They give you an exercise. The exercise is in great depth because it's teaching you how to paint, how to draw, how to use different tools, various mediums, methods, etc. And so they like this one painting I'm working on right now is a landscape painting. And the first part of the painting is about 2 or 3 hours to get the background done, which you're dropping in the colors and setting up the scene. And then the second video is using a palette knife. We're not using brushes. We're creating the real part of the landscape through a palette knife. And that is also 2 to 3 hours to work on it. Okay. And the video that is the teaching video for the exercises is edited. So instead of it being 3 hours long, because she's not showing you every single brush stroke and every single color that gets mixed and whatnot, it's edited. So it's only a 25-minute video, but the painting really for that part takes 2 to 3 hours. Right now, she's a very prolific painter. So it probably only took her 3 hours to do the whole painting, but we're newbies, so they give you a time of 6 hours for the whole painting to be done. And I'm about 2 hours in to the whole painting, so not doing too bad right now. But on the call last night, a lot of people, a good majority of the class, were complaining to the mentor that they're very unhappy because on the videos that we're watching to give us an idea of how we should be doing the exercise, they're not showing exactly what colors to use. They're not showing exactly how to put the stroke down, right? The brush stroke or the palette knife down. And I listened to everybody complaining, and I also felt that too in the very beginning when I first started this, and I really went down a dark hole with the last painting, the painting before this, which was a portrait painting, because I couldn't figure out color mixing for the flesh colors. And I was so deeply in my head, and I was thinking, this is all about my own personal perfectionism. It's about my perfectionism and my desire not to get it wrong. And I don't want to play in that. That's old me. I don't want to be that person that takes a week and a half to do a portrait painting because I'm scared to death to mix a color, to put it on the painting, to have it come out bad. There's no grading here. There's no, it's at the end of this program, which should literally take a year. It could take 2 years. They give you 2 years to do it in, but they want you to try to do it in a year. At the end of the program, I have to create 25 paintings that are in my portfolio, that are from me, my concept, my idea, my artistic expression. But how will I ever get that artistic expression if I don't try something? And, even if I struggle with it and fail from it, how will I ever know, right? But I watched all these people last night who are going through the same growing pains, and they're past me. They're already on to, more advanced sections than I am and everything, but they're still complaining about not having the exact information they feel they need in order to do the work that they want to do. And I listened and I thought, well, this is society. This is the collective. The collective wants to be handheld. The collective wants to be spoon-fed. They want to opt for the easiest path with the least resistance so that they can feel comfortable. Are any of you like that? Do you feel that way? Is it possible that you feel that way too? Like, well, you know what? Just give me the health insurance. I know I have the health insurance. I don't have to think about anything else should I end up having to go into the hospital, right? Or Just tell me what colors I have to use and how I actually put the brush stroke down. Give me that 3-hour video instead of the 25-minute video and show me step by step, brush stroke by brush stroke, how to do it so I can feel comfortable and confident. But the problem is that that does not generate confidence. That just generates copying. And when you're copying, you're not using your own intel. You're not using your own intuition, which is why my community has always, always from day one been centered around me not being the guru, me giving you exactly the lay of the energetic state of where we are. So that you can take your power back. And my job is to tell you, hey, this is what's happening out there. This is how we navigate it. You could stick with the old way that you always do things, right? And I see some maybe doing that. But I also see some moving on to the new ways of doing things and leaving the old behind. Those ways that say, oh, you know, this, I have to do it this way because I have to look this way, or it has to be this way, or I have to do it this way. This is the only way it could be. When then somebody else says, hey, I'm going to try this, excuse me, this path, and I'm going to take my footprint and put it here. And I'm going to see how that works. Right. And then we make the footprint and we see how that works. And we get all excited because, oh my goodness, we just shifted something within ourselves that we could not see before because we were too rooted in fear. Fear of getting it wrong, fear of looking bad, fear of people not liking us, fear of judgment. And really, the only judgment out there is our judgment because at the end of the day, there is nothing here with us. We are in a simulation. Okay. When the soul exits the physical body, this ceases to exist and we go on into another dimensional realm that is not here. So, why would we stress and suffer and give our power and our energy over to the things that are just not important to us? You know, one of the things I learned through that death phase that I went through is that our loved ones on the other side don't want us to grieve them. They don't. When we don't grieve them and we do our work and we sit in the work and we root in the work and we're doing the work and we're focused on the work, guess what? That gives them their angel wings on the other side. If they couldn't get to what they were supposed to do while they were here, we're the generational imprint doing it for them. It releases them, it frees them from their karma. But when we get stuck in the mundane crap because we don't think it can be any other way, we don't free our loved ones. My mom came through recently. She came through me, but then she wanted to reiterate this through someone who is a medium. And tell them to make sure that I got the message, that I understood, that I knew that she was so grateful and so thankful and so happy that I am in my work the way that I am in my work because it is literally moving her up the rungs of the ladder in ways that she could not imagine because she couldn't do the work when she was here on the earth plane. And just recently, my father has come through and expressed the same thing. And the more I do my work and the more I heal my relationship with them, my grief of them passing, and not have to mourn them and memorialize them all the time, it allows me to uplift them and ascend them and we're help them work their magic on the other side because guess what? Once we leave here, we're still in the work. We're still in the work. So if there's someone you're angry with that's crossed over, find love, do the Ho'oponopono, or find forgiveness in some way. It is not about anything other than about ourself, about ascending our soul and ascending our consciousness and expanding into that next level. There is nothing else. I cannot emphasize this enough. I just can't. There is nothing else. This is all there is. Okay. But most of us don't want to stretch out of our comfort zone because we're feeling safe there. Sometimes we feel lazy there, right? Sometimes we don't want to be judged. We don't want to be judged as looking bad, right? I will share from me. Like I just spoke about my mom and my dad. I want to ask you guys, have you ever seen me post anything on social media anywhere, amplifying them, being like, oh, I miss you so much? Isn't that no? Why? Because that really doesn't do anything. I know psychic mediums say, oh, it makes them, so happy. It does this for them. It doesn't. It doesn't do anything for them, right? What does for them is you doing your work, your generational connection to them, your ancestral connection to them amplifies their state of being. When you do your work, it goes forward into the future and affects any future ancestors you have, and it goes back into the past and it creates the miracles for the ones that are not here anymore. But you posting and I miss you, I love you, rest in peace, all that stuff does absolutely nothing for them. That is a human constraint. It is a human condition that keeps us locked in the cycle of karma. It does nothing for anybody. Okay. And people do it because they don't want to be judged as being bad. Oh, I don't want to be seen as a bad daughter or a bad son or a bad husband or a bad wife or whatever it is, right? But there is no such thing. We have to get over that. We have to get past it. It is so not the truth. It is not the truth of who we are. Okay. And so this is really important because now is the time. Now is the time to change and shift. Change those old patterns, behaviors, belief systems. Get rid of them. They don't serve in this big energy that we're in. We're going to be like a rocket taking off once we hit July. There's going to be a lot of fireworks out there in 3D land. Don't be part of it. Okay, July, June 15th, we have a new moon in Gemini. Let's talk about that for a second. Very, very fast moving energy that's going to usher us right into July. When we get to July 4th, woo, fireworks, but fireworks on another level that are going to continue through the next couple of months like we've never seen. This new moon in Gemini is fast moving. Gemini is the mind. It's electric. It's mental. I repeat myself all the time so you guys start to get it, right? That this is mental energy. It's electric. It's very fast. We could be very overwhelmed in the mind. The mind could be jazzed up. It could be zigzagging all over the place. It could make us feel like we have ADHD or ADD, right? We cannot put our attention someplace, right? We're going to do one thing and then we go, oh, wait, let me see how this is working because it's too much to focus in. That's why I say, let social media go. Let it go. It's not serving a purpose. It's keeping us stuck in the 3D. We don't want to do that, right? Find stillness. Calm the mind. That's really what we need to do. Calm the mind. Try to stay off social media as much as you can. Shut that darn TV off. It is just monotonous, monotonous. Do breath work, meditate, walk in nature or some kind of movement. Or there's a YouTube channel, Get Fit with Rick. He does indoor walking. He's really awesome. Maybe do some of that, right? But I'm going to tell you, I've been losing weight. Like I lost about 5 pounds over the last, I don't know, 3, 4 weeks. And I'm not really doing anything different. I am just being me. I'm coming into my authenticity. I am changing back to me. I'm noticing it because I'm starting to feel pulled to sort certain clothes again. I got rid of all the stuff that I migrated to during the time that I spent with Beth cohabitating in the house with her. And that really just wasn't me. I don't know who I morphed into in that whole thing. I think I was trying to dumb myself down because she was very, very judgmental about herself mostly, but then it just spilled over onto me and everything else in life. So, but I'm finding myself again. I want you to find yourself. It's very important, okay? And the minute you do, if you've been struggling with your weight, the weight just falls off. It starts to fall off. It just starts to shift everything. You don't have to do anything. Okay. So, this is a time where new thoughts are going to come in, new ways of thinking. That's going to be exciting because thoughts are our power. Words are the creation of the reality that we live in, right? And so it's important for us to become aware of any negative self-talk or any negative talk in general. Okay. Thinking forms the opportunity for the spoken word. So our thoughts first become words, second step. And then the words are spoken into the reality. And that content through the words is fed into the energy, which then creates the reality that we all experience. So if you're not loving your reality, look at the words you are speaking. How much of it is negative? Because I tell you, most of us are walking around speaking at least 80% negativity. Some of us more, right? But at least 80% negativity. I am a huge gatekeeper. And if you ever hang out with me and you are speaking any kind of negativity while we are hanging out, I'm pointing it out to you. I'm like, did you hear what you just said? Did you hear how you just said that? Right? Because we don't want to experience negativity simply because we're in a pattern or a habit of behavior that we have not shifted away from, and we're oblivious to it. Let's not do that. It's important not to do that. It's important to gain perspective. But, I've had clients come and spend time with me, come down here, do session work with me in person, and tell me it shifts them because, we're in the flow of what is, and I'm showing them this is where your negativity is coming from. This is where you're creating this situation. This is how this is being formed because I'm with them for a longer period of time than just a 1 hour session. And we are really in the work because we're simply maybe hanging out. And in that time, I get to take you, show you different places down here and everything. But the conversations are real, right? And I have that opportunity to then call you out and be like, listen, did you hear what you just said? Right? Because you're not aware of it. But I become so self-aware, I don't live in that reality anymore. I don't choose to live in that reality anymore. That's where we need to go. That's where we need to be, right? Because once something is spoken, so it is. The minute it's spoken, it becomes reality. The particles of light that build the reality, then rally around us and start to create what it is you just spoke, thinking that's what you want more of. So if you have a unconscious behavior of complaining, right? Or you're a little vindictive and you're speaking negativity because you want somebody else to really feel how they're making you feel or feel the pain and suffering. Then you're going to have more pain and suffering because you're speaking that into the reality, and the reality doesn't know the difference between you and them. So it's going to give you the pain and suffering. So one thing you can do when you're self-aware and you're gatekeeping your thoughts is remember to cancel, delete any negative words, right? Like if you just said something, you say, shoot, I didn't mean that. Cancel and delete. Cancel and delete. I do not consent. Right? Cancel, delete, I do not consent. And that removes the negative words until you get a handle on it. Something else that we have is At the end of June, we have Chiron, who's the wounded healer, moving into Taurus for 3 months. And that's going to be a very potent time. It's going to be a time that's going to really demand our healing. And so I'm going to share with you what mine looks like, right? Because this is a super powerful time for healing. Wherever Chiron is the wounded healer. It's the original wound that we incarnated with, wherever it is in your birth chart. And you can go to almost any website, just type into Google birth chart, put in your birthday, the time of your birth, and your place of birth, and you can get that information. I'd say you could do it with probably ChatGPT or some AI. They can be wrong, but you could also, type into ChatGPT, hey, this is my birthday. This is my place I was born. This is the time I was born. The time is utterly important. It is the most important part. Can you tell me what house my Chiron is in? And then you look up what the houses represent and you'll know what you're working on. That's an easy way to do it, or you could do a session with me and I'll help you with that. And we can also look at your nodes and see what you're moving to in your north node as opposed to where you're leaving your past in your south node. But this is very important because this is going to show up and show you where you have been holding victim energy. Now, mine is true because I have Taurus in my sixth house, and the sixth house represents daily routines, health, work. And it highlights deep-seated insecurities regarding physical well-being and feeling undervalued at work, striving for perfection, and challenging to build a new routine, right? So I can say my whole life, my physical well-being, I probably haven't done a great job in my younger years taking care of myself, nurturing myself. When I had cancer, I ended up losing 96 pounds to get myself back down to like around 150. Now I pretty much maintain. But I can't be, I tried to go down to, I think at the thinnest, I was like 142 pounds. And I had people telling me I looked emaciated. So I went back up to like 150, 155, because otherwise that's too skinny for me. My bones, my frame is a little bigger, so I can't get too thin. I'm not like you wouldn't say I'm petite. I'm almost 5'5", but I'm not like petite 5'5", And because of my boobs, that's just not going to happen. So I know what's good for me and what's not good for me, where I have to draw the line and be okay with that. But this is always the feeling of undervalued at work. Yeah, that's always been a thing for me. When I worked my corporate job, I never felt like I felt like I always did more, way more than anybody else that I ever worked with. I was always like a workhorse, I could say. And I always felt like I was undervalued. And so the perfection thing, definitely 100% me, right? So now it's asking me to do something different, which is interesting because a couple months back, I started to shift my health and wellness routine, and I started to look at things differently with regard to health and wellness and how I'm managing myself and how I'm managing my nervous system and, what it is that I'm doing to bring balance into my day to day. And so, it's very important for us to all have an idea of where that work lies for us. So you can look that up and see, because it is in its truth. And I can tell you that health and wellness and well-being and, service, it is a work. The sixth house is about work. So it is something that I can actually say has been coming. It's going to ramp up over the next couple of months, which should be interesting to see how that gets created, right? We'll see how that gets created. But in the meantime, look yours up and see if you can identify what house it's in so you know where your work is, right? And then we're here to build greater self-worth. Now, Sedna, our friend who got her fingers crossed, cut off on the boat with her father, and if you missed that story, so she wa ran off to marry somebody she was betrothed to and was very unhappy and asked her father to come and get her. So he jumped in the boat and he rowed over to the other shoreline and he picked her up in the boat to bring her home because she was so unhappy with her marriage. And as they were rowing home, a storm erupted in the sea. And as the storm erupted in the sea, it knocked Sedna out of the boat, to which she grabbed on and started clinging to the boat. But because the sea was so rough, her father knew if he brought her back into the boat would be too heavy in the seas and it would just tip over again. So to save himself, right, the patriarchy, to save himself and the divine feminine is in surrender, he cut off her fingers and she goes into the underworld, right? She dies, she goes into the underworld, and her fingers become all the sea creatures. So this is going to be a very powerful time for us to have connections with the whales and the dolphins, and you might find them coming into your dreams. And so this is moving us from disempowered to a state of empowerment, and especially for women, because there's a change in the divine feminine on the earth right now, where I'm seeing so many women walking away from things that are not serving them anymore, jobs that are just casting them into a position of being disempowered, of being subservient, and or marriages, or even friendships that are not working out anymore, situations that are not healthy for them. And so we're going from, and this is every one of us, this is not just for women, but men too. We're moving from disempowerment to empowerment through this Sedna phase, which is going to last for a bit. And it'll be about surrendering the old identity, right? Where Sedna dies, surrenders the old identity to the underworld, and then comes up and is reborn through her fingers. So there's metamorphosis here, there's transcendence, surrendering the old trauma, right? Wherever we've held trauma, stepping into our destiny with the North Node energy now. And so dreams, again, like I said before, are going to be very potent and prolific. You can wake up feeling like something is wrong in your body, like your body is humming and buzzing and beeping and some kind of thing is going on. And you're like, oh my God, as you know, am I having a seizure? Am I this or that? But it's just all of this heavy energy. And as I'm sitting here, we're just being hammered by solar events. I'm looking at my phone constantly lighting up. These are the solar events that are triggering the earthquakes and all of that stuff around the world. So we have to be conscious to this. This is what we are experiencing right now. And it's so important for us to be conscious of this. So dreams, as we up level to the next level of dimensional access that we have is going to allow us to have these very incredible dreams, right? This is the body trying to recover energetically when we wake up from a dream, like especially like me with that death dream, and I couldn't figure myself out. The body had to come back into recovery mode, and it took a minute. So sometimes we can't get right out of bed. We have to wait a few minutes because the body needs to settle down. This is why we don't want to do anything chaotic at night. We don't want to have, feelings of anger. We don't want to read anything that's negative. We don't want to have negative conversations at night because we take that right into dream state. Okay. So we have to make sure that our consciousness is clear heading into sleep because we want to make sure that we're getting the rest that the body needs, because it is going to be going off doing its work in other dimensions. And as those dimensions get closer, what's happening with me is going to start happening with you, where you're going to start to recognize that yourself interacting in these dimensional states that are just, otherworldly and, healing in many ways for us. So this is where I'm going to leave it right now. It's really important for us to be mindful of what is presenting. Don't get caught up. I am going to have another recording this week for you. So I don't know when that's going to happen though. Probably more closer to Friday, I'm thinking, Friday or Saturday even, to make up for for being behind a week. But there is so much more to say. I just don't want to do it in one recording that's going to be like 4 or 5 hours long. I think that would be too much. So I'm going to leave this here. Know that I love you so much. Stay in the work. This is a super important time. It's what we've been practicing up until now. Very important. Okay. Know that I love you very, very much, and have a wonderful whatever it is that you're doing. Take care. Bye-bye.